You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
And now that heart is beating fast, and that's the rhythm I can dance to. I'm mighty glad I've got a chance to, that one big heart that's beating fast. Tomorrow morning, let it rain. Tomorrow morning, let it pour. Tonight, we're in the groove together. Ain't gonna worry about stormy weather. Gonna kick old trouble out the door. Beat out old trouble and drum. Beat out old trouble and drum. Beat out old trouble on the drum and kick old trouble out the door. Beat me that rhythm on the drum. Beat me that rhythm on the drum. Beat me that rhythm on the drum and kick old trouble out the door. Kick him 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 out the
to Radical Australian Community Radio 3CR, streaming live on 3cr.org.au. The program is podcast. So if nature calls, the meth lab next door knocks on your door for a cup of sugar, relax. The program is podcast. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, Joe.
How are you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Good.
You actually look, since you've become an old age pensioner, you actually look happy.
Yeah, I am.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What, the extra $100 bucks?
I thought when you reach, you know, age pension, life's over, but
that's when,
you
know, it begins,
for some reason, right? It's gotten better.
Yeah, you got no responsibilities. You can tell anybody you like to piss off because you don't care.
Yeah.
You're going to die soon, so it doesn't matter.
That's right.
Now, yeah. We've got a real guest today, and he's brought in, I can't believe what he's brought in. He's brought in security, Mr. Aspin, A-S-P-I-N. He's got a bloody camera.
James.
James, is it?
Aspin James.
Aspin James.
Yes.
He sounds pretty high up in the royalty. Aspin James. And we'll have to interview him one day. And then we've got the real one. Danny, and I've been told to be very careful here, C-O-N-D-O-N. How do you pronounce that, Danny?
Condon.
Condon.
Condon, not Condon. Sounds too much like something else.
Right.
Condon, like London with a C.
London with a C.
Yeah.
Oh,
Thanks,
Happy
Joe.
Yes, okay. Well, we've got to thank Leo. Leon. You've got to thank Leon. He's going to get pissed off if
he's
we don't mention him.
Of
you
course.
Know, he's just full of himself.
No, he's great. Leo. We like Leon.
Oh, right. What's that bullshit you got over there?
Oh, this one.
What's that?
It's a big brass mug. You want to have a go?
Brass mug.
Yeah.
God, you could make money
out
of this.
It's my television trophy.
A television trophy. I thought you bought this in as a urinal for me because you knew I had a prostate problem.
No, I've tried to drink champagne out of it, but everything ends up with this sort of brassy, metallic sort of flavour to it.
Yeah,
so it's not incredibly practical.
Oh, hang on. Can I read it? I've got to put my glasses on. It's only 1 foot high, the writing. Hard quiz. Q-U. You're not one of them, eh?
Oh, yeah, I'm one of them, yeah.
You actually won this.
Got it in the bag. Yeah,
in the bag.
Nailed it. Smashed it.
When did this happen?
The episode went to air last week, but we filmed it about a year ago now.
And it took a year to come on. It
took a year to get to air. I think I applied about 3 years ago, so it was a bit of a process to get that.
So they were concerned about all your swearing.
My credentials.
That's why it took a year to get on. They had to cut out all the swear words.
I think they have to weed out all the crap.
All the crap. Oh, so this is the ABC hard quiz mug.
Well, that's it.
We're with royalty here, Daryl. Royalty.
Yep, sure royalty. Are.
A winner. Okay.
Winner.
Usually there's four losers? No, three losers and one winner.
That's it.
Yeah. Now, what was your topic, mate?
My topic was Chopin.
Chopin.
Yeah. What's Do you know Chopin? Frederick Chopin.
I don't know him personally.
No, neither do I. He's been dead a long time.
So why Chopin?
Because we both play the piano. I'm a pianist, and so is he. And he's probably the greatest composer of piano music to have ever existed.
How long ago did he live?
He lived from 1810 to 1849. Died when he was 39. It was a short, sad life.
Did you slaughter the opposition, or was one of these, you know, where you had to Face Off.
It was a wipeout.
Wipeout.
I was in the lead from the beginning and never dropped it.
Never dropped it. Oh, God. We've got a modest person here. That's what I like to see. Well, look, mate, my mum said, you don't talk about yourself. Nobody else is.
That's absolutely right. She sounds wise.
Yeah, she was wise. Now, what year were you born?
85.
Yeah. Were you born in this magnificent city or somewhere else?
No. Unfortunately, no. I was born in a small town near Wollongong, very small town that you've never heard of.
Can we divulge the name or have you been railroaded out of the TAF?
Well, no, I can divulge the name. It's called Jamboree.
Yeah.
Everyone in Sydney knows Jamboree because there's a water park there called Jamboree Action Park, and there's a theme tune that goes, Jamboree, where you control the action, da-da-da. And for a long time, it was the only theme park in New South Wales. So everyone would, every school excursion would drive the buses of kids down from Sydney to Jamboree. And everyone in Sydney knows that jingle. So every time I meet someone who's from Sydney and I say, I'm from Jamboree, they always respond with, where you control the action. But unfortunately, no one in Melbourne gets that joke. So I have to, not everyone's hometown has a theme tune. So no, I sort of sing that whenever
we welcome refugees here in Melbourne.
Thank you.
So we welcome you.
I'm officially, I think lockdown's made me a Melbournean through
We welcome people like you have to put up with that. I mean, I can't believe it. You came from a place like that. Are your parents still alive?
They are. They're still there.
This is where it gets a bit sticky. Anything nice you can say about them?
My parents are both wonderful.
Are they?
Intelligent, eccentric.
Eccentric, I like
big
that.
Big drinkers.
How are they eccentric? I like this.
How are they eccentric? Oh, they just talk. You can't shut them up. They'll talk everyone under the table. They'll talk about absolutely anything.
What do you reckon, Daryl? You reckon they could talk me under the table? Be hard to ask, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
They'd be about my age. They'd be a bit, 10 years, 20 years younger than me, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
They'd be in their late 50s, early 60s?
They're sort of late 60s.
Yeah, let's give them the kudos that they deserve because they created you, young man.
God bless.
What are their names?
Peace goes out to Mark and Bernadette.
Mark and Bernadette. You got any siblings?
Being from a good Catholic family, I have lots of those. I have two brothers and two sisters.
Yeah, they still talk to you?
They do still talk to me. They do still talk to me.
Did they ring you up when you got this mug?
Of course. We've got a family chat going, so there was a lot of banter on the family chat during the Hard Quiz episode. They were all very excited for it. Also, all their kids were all very excited. For it. The family really got around.
Well, you got nieces and nephews too.
Tons.
How many?
Tons. Oh gosh, eight and two in utero.
Amazing.
Yeah,
you're a fecund family, aren't you?
They won't stop breeding. Good Catholics.
Typical fecund Roman Catholic family.
That's it.
You know, the idea is to outbreed the Protestants because
they're doing a very good job of it.
You know, that's the great thing about Catholicism. You know, you born a Catholic, die a Catholic. Look at me.
Amen. Yeah. You're Catholic.
Me? Yeah. You're kidding.
No, I didn't think so.
I was born a Catholic. Oh. I could have been Pope, you know.
Oh,
I tell this story all the time.
You're a lapsed Catholic.
No, I never was. I could have been Pope, you know.
Got it. Yeah?
I blame my father, my deceased father. It's all his fault that I'm stuck in the studio with you.
Instead of in the Il Vaticano.
As Pope. I could have been, you know. I mean, people, you know, the priest said to me, old man, they said, look, this lad's got a future as a priest. We're going to put him in seminary school. I was about 34. He said to them, piss off. Yeah. He said, this isn't Italy. You only get the third son. Now, I could have been a pope.
You'd have made a great pope.
I would have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would have blessed everybody and stolen the money from the treasury.
Worn all the fancy clothes.
I'd love to wear the fancy
clothes.
Aren't
they fantastic?
You got a lumberjack top on. What's all this?
Oh, this is the butch look that I'm going for. But this
butch
You've not seen the merchandise that I'm wearing.
Father Daddy.
That's it.
Father Daddy. And is that a Christian Catholic iconology?
It's an ancient Christogram called the Cairo. Yeah. Do you know it?
Never heard of it.
Well, we're sort of alluding to Catholicism, but without going full crucifix, because we figured a lot of people don't want to wear merchandise with a crucifix on it.
Well, so I reckon they would.
We've gone for a sneaky Christogram with Christogram. The Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah. What's this Father Daddy bullshit?
This is my stage name. Stage name.
You're not an entertainer, are you? Daryl, how did he get in here? We don't have entertainers on this program. How did he get in here?
I don't know. I guess the door was left unlocked or something.
Wandered in off the
Is
street.
He the guest? Are you sure he's the guest? He just didn't want him.
Yeah, well,
him and that Jamie character just wandered in. No. Well, how did this happen? What do you mean you're an entertainer?
I'm an entertainer. This is why I went on a hard cruise. I've been playing the piano since I was 8. Chopin's a piano player. We've got a certain sort of vibe going, kindred spirits in a way.
An entertainer, all right.
Yeah. Look, I hate to say this, mate. I hate to say this, Danny. You don't look like a piano player. You've got thick construction
People
hands.
Say that all the time.
Do they?
Because I'm built like a Viking. But I haven't always been this large. I was a small child at one point who had nothing much to do in Jamboree except play the piano.
Piano. And your parents were appreciative of it?
They pushed us all into music from a very young age.
you're not the Jackson 5, eh?
Well, I think Dad was going for more of a Von Trapp sort of family scenario.
Didn't happen.
But I'm the only one that's sort of still pursuing it.
Do you remember your first piano teacher?
I do. I don't remember his name, but I do remember my first keyboard teacher. Yeah, I sort of did. I sort of played clarinet as well. So I was put into a year of piano class that I could read music by the time I got to clarinet. Yeah, so clarinet was the sort of main instrument that I was trained on, but I kept up the piano because my parents had one. So.
Yeah, you missed the good old days in the 50s where they'd wrap you across the knuckles with a ruler. Did they do that too?
I did. I had a fairly progressive piano teacher, but my clarinet teacher, he was old school.
He was old school.
He laid me down on the floor and stood on my abdomen and got me to push him up and down on the floor using my abs to strengthen my pipes.
They call that assault with intent these
days.
They do.
It was uncool. Well, my mother was in the room the whole I was.
Oh, right. She enabled it. She enabled it. She agreed with it,
didn't
she?
It was like unconventional but effective, you know.
How big were you?
Oh, I would have been like 13.
You could make it. You're 13, a man. 14. You could have good handled it, mate.
Puberty.
A big bloke standing on your guts. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Gets you ready for life, doesn't it?
It was improved my singing voice as well.
Did it?
Yeah.
Right. Did it push up your vocal cords?
Absolutely. I can pump out a tune.
All right. So did you go to, I assume you went to primary school.
I did go to primary school.
Anything happy happen?
Did anything happy happen at primary school? I had a great time at primary school too. I went to Catholic schools all the way through.
Dingle sex?
No, this was a co-ed Catholic school. Right. I mean, I probably would have preferred to go to an all-boys school, actually.
I think we've opened a door here.
You want to? But no, I had a great time at school, mostly by and large. I had good friends, sort of academically competitive we all were. So we were always
in primary school?
I was in the nerd group. I was always in the nerd group at school. So
you don't look like a piano player. You don't look like a nerd. You look like a rugby league player.
Well, I played rugby union, actually, for a long time as well.
Much more sophisticated.
Much more sophisticated.
Well, you get a lot of blokes jumping on you, not just one.
But I love that, so that's fine.
Yeah. Well, we may go down that pathway. Okay. I think you've opened a gate here.
Opened a door that cannot be closed.
How was
I'm queerbaiting you. I'm queerbaiting you.
Yeah, you're trying to tell us something, and I'm trying not to go down that pathway. All right. High school, what was that like?
High school was also mostly good. Obviously, I wasn't out yet, I've alluded to this, but I was very much in the closet. I sort of knew that I was gay from a very young age, but sort of kept that to myself for all of high school.
Right.
It was a sort of Catholic high school, very sports oriented, out of the city.
Yeah.
Playing rugby union after school wasn't obviously a great place for a kid to be gay, sort of in the 90s.
Yeah.
So I sort of threw myself into music, I think, as a way of sort of coping with that.
Yeah.
I'm sort of avoiding thinking about my sexuality, so I just dove into music.
Right, so you would have heard every derogatory term under the sun.
Every slur you can throw at me, I've heard them a million times
as a high school kid.
Yeah.
How difficult was that for you?
It was almost like everyone sort of knew before I did. Like, but even before I knew that I was gay, people pick up on that there's something different about you. Like if it's the inflection in your voice or that, you know, he's playing music rather than going to rugby, people sort of pick up on that. So they sort of threw the slurs at me before I'd actually come out of the closet, which sort of didn't happen. And which sort of makes it harder, actually.
When people are
telling you that, you know, you're a faggot or fag, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
You sort of push against that and you're like, no, I'm not. So you sort of, because you know that it's not acceptable.
Yeah.
So you sort of hold off on that for as long as you can.
Right.
And so I didn't sort of come out until I was at uni, which was a much more sort of accepting environment.
Which uni was this?
This is Wollongong, University of Wollongong. I did a creative arts degree there.
They actually got a university at Wollongong.
They do.
I can't believe this.
They've got quite a good university at Wollongong. Yeah.
Well, you're a graduate.
I am a graduate, yeah.
You said creative arts. So what's your degree?
Bachelor of Creative Arts in Music and Theatre.
Music and theatre.
Not musical theatre, although musical theatre was a part of it, but music and theatre.
And theatre.
So I sort of leaned into the music side of it more. So there was it was a drama school, essentially.
Yeah.
But I sort of took an elective singing subject, so there was a lot of opera. Musical theatre was a part of it, but it was sort of method acting and all of that jazz as well.
So what happens to a young gay creative arts degree holder once they kick you out of university?
Like flush it down the toilet.
Flush it down the toilet.
Get a marketing call center. I worked at a call center. No, but I got.
Well, were you sympathetic
to the in the call center?
Yeah, to the people who rang.
Of course I was. I was very empathetic. I knew exactly what their problems were and their emotional, you know, I was incredibly empathetic. You know, I could even put on different accents during the calls. This is before
you amused yourself, did you?
Yeah, 100%.
At people's expense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, they cry on the phone, you've ripped us off, you know, and you'd say, oh, look, I'm sorry.
This is slightly before the internet was just coming, you know, like 1-2-1-2 call connect and then through to whoever you want.
1990s,
soul crushing. But then I got a job at the local theatre company, which is much more up my alley.
What, in Wollongong?
This is the Illawarra Performing Arts Centre.
So Illawarra Performing Arts Centre.
Yes, sir. Yeah, it was a good place.
Yeah, that's the good thing about us. We do like refugees from New South Wales. Are you a refugee from the Illawarra Performing Arts Centre?
I am, yeah.
How did the career go there?
So there, I was sort of in front of house and then into marketing, and I was sort of marketing, yeah.
But you're a performer.
I am a performer, but but it wasn't earning a buck at this stage, and still not.
I mean, that's what Aspen does. Isn't that what he's doing now? He's trying to market you as a commodity.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to monetize all this.
You have to.
Yeah. What, you eat, do you?
I try.
You need to eat and need a roof over your head.
I do, unfortunately.
Oh, that's pathetic. Yeah. Oh, come on. Don't you people just breathe creative air?
We eat dreams and scales and arpeggios. Right.
So when did you realise Illawarra Arts or the theatre wasn't for you, mate? You're getting nowhere.
Well, I was sort of there in a professional capacity, but I sort of kept up the theatre. We started a theatre company called Soap Opera, and they were sort of continuing to do sort of like theatre stuff.
What type of theatre stuff?
Big musicals. So sort of big Broadway musicals. They're still going. So shout out to Soap Opera who are there. But I sort of wanted to do sort of my own thing and sort of do new music. I wanted to write new music.
Yeah.
So I sort of had the idea for Father Daddy sort of shortly after that.
Yeah.
And that was this sort of vehicle to sort of combine sort of the Catholicism and gay culture into this character that I've come up with.
Father Daddy.
Yeah.
You realise there are kids being driven home from school.
That's absolutely fine. Father Daddy's very, very kid-friendly.
He's kid-friendly. He's very kid-friendly.
He's very kid-friendly.
Oh, my God, Daryl.
No, he's a good man.
He's a good man. Well, we'll find out about Father Daddy later on, because I understand you are... doing something at the fringe.
We are doing something at the
regarding
fringe.
Father Daddy. We'll go into that in a minute. So when did you decide to leave Illawarra?
I worked in Sydney for a company called Music Aviva, and that was sort of a bit more up my alley there.
So did you play the piano for them,
No, I didn't. I was also in marketing for them. I wasn't sort of pro at that stage.
Right.
But I lived in Sydney for a couple of years and then decided to move. I moved to Melbourne in sort of 2017.
Yep.
Obviously for the music scene, like original music, Melbourne's got a much bigger scene than Sydney or indeed Wollongong or Jamboree for that matter. Got a bit more sort of queer-friendly cabaret scene is the thing here.
Yeah.
And I had a sort of couple of good years before COVID, and that sort of set me back.
COVID set you back.
Yeah.
Isn't COVID a wonderful time where you could rest at home and get paid for doing nothing?
No, in some ways it was. It was.
Did
a
you
good
get paid?
Time.
Did I you did, get paid?
I did get paid. I had a job at the time, so I did get paid. So it was sort of a terrible time, I guess, in terms of my mental health, but a good time in terms of.
Hang on, mental health.
Yeah.
What do you mean mental health?
Oh, just I was single. I didn't have many friends or family in Melbourne.
Yeah. Well, you're a refugee.
I was a refugee. I'd been dumped shortly before lockdown. So didn't have a boyfriend. Didn't have any close friends or family in Melbourne.
Right.
On my own.
Right.
One bedroom apartment.
Right.
All I sort of had was my job.
Right.
Which was a bit sad.
What was your job?
I worked in the education industry. We were a marketer. Recruiter. We were a recruiter for the international education sector.
Right.
Which was good people, but obviously not the work that I wanted to be doing for the rest of my life.
Right.
And that's sort of when I decided to action Father Daddy. So here's the idea that I'd had, I don't know, maybe a decade ago.
So
but during lockdown, I was like, you got to do this. You got to make this happen. Otherwise, you know, you'll die a bitter and twisted
old man.
Now,
this idea about Father Daddy, you said it was an idea you had about a decade ago.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, so the idea of Father Daddy's, he's sort of my gay Catholic trauma manifest, you know, come to life, because right. I found myself in these two very different cultures through no fault of my own that don't necessarily see eye to eye. It's a sin to be gay in the Catholic Church. The gays have rebelled against that because they've not been accepted. And so it's this idea of sort of combining two very different cultures harmoniously. It's about finding balance, I guess. It's sort of taking the best bits of each of these cultures and trying to find a happy medium and making it work, because there were no gay role models in the Catholic Church and no Catholic role models in the gay scene. Community. Like, I felt like I couldn't talk to my gay friends about being right. Catholic, and I couldn't talk to my Catholic friends about being gay. So I saw these two separate parts of my life that could also learn from each other. Like, they could also borrow heavily from the other book. So I don't know if you've
seen... So you're still Catholic, eh?
Still Catholic, yeah.
Do you attend Mass?
I sort of go to Mass about as often as I go to the dentist. For a bit of a checkup.
You're a Christmas Catholic.
I'm a Christmas and Easter. Yeah. I've been going a little bit more for research for the show, actually, to sort of see what costumes.
You go to church for research, not to worship. Come on.
I started off going back to church for research, but I got a lot out. I sort of had a big break from church for 20 years, sort of during the sexual abuse crisis. Really challenging as a gay man to overcome that. Yeah. And so I went back to church for research for the show, but then I was sort of struck by this wave of nostalgia, and it felt really nice, and I knew all the responses, and I've been going back on a spiritual level as well. So I am Catholic. I believe in God and in Jesus. And there's a lot of it that, you know, I'm a cafeteria Catholic. I take the bits that I want and I don't accept the things.
So
that
you
I
leave
like.
The broccoli on the plate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you eat the rest
of it. I do love
it.
Broccoli.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. I'm fascinated. Here you are trying to do something, meld two different philosophies and ideologies into one.
That's it.
You know what happens to most of those people who try to do that?
They get famous?
No. No.
They die.
They die.
It kills them.
Yeah. Remember, the Catholic Church has been around for 2,000 years, mate. They've dealt with people like you before.
I know. It's nothing new. And it's not new to combine religion and pop music either.
Yeah, but isn't it the thing these days, you can be gay and Catholic as long as you don't practice being gay.
Well, so that's right. So it's not being same-sex attracted that's the sin. It's acting on it that's the sin, which is essentially a prison. Like, you can be gay as long as you don't have gay sex, do you know? So, I mean, all in Catholicism, any sex that's not geared towards having children is a sin. Feeling the shame is not just a gay thing, but I think all Catholics feel shame around sort of having sex for any purpose that's not procreating.
They used to.
They don't anymore.
Now they have the pill if they're heterosexual.
Yeah.
Or you can adopt if you're gay.
Yeah.
It's fascinating, isn't it, really? Because the church has never, never, never actually been able to address this issue, which is, you know, this issue has been going on for hundreds of years.
And it's just an awkward question. Like, I remember growing up, I actually had a wonderful experience in my church. My church was really supportive. Mm. It was the church as a whole that's sort of the issue. And that stuff all sort of filters down, like, you know, George Pell saying, you know, we don't support these people.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like this big awkward question, because the Catholics sort of talk about love and everyone's accepted, but that's a sin and your lifestyle is a sin. But then now we see that homosexuality is not a choice, and it's not a choice that you make, and so that's backed up by science. So I felt like it's just this big awkward question that no one wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
And I felt sort of very alone for a long time, because I knew that I was gay, but no one wanted to talk about that. No one gave me an out. Yeah, so it's just very awkward. And I don't really know where they're at the moment.
Yeah, I've got a profession for you, mate. The profession I was never able to follow. Become a priest, Roman Catholic priest. You're celibate, whether you're gay or whatever. It doesn't matter, does it?
Yeah, but that's a trap. Celibacy is a trap. I mean, so Father Daddy's against celibacy. That's had a big role to play in the sexual abuse crisis. Yeah.
Now, you've given Daryl some music, have you? What have you given him?
So these are a couple of tracks from Father Daddy.
Well, tell us what Father Daddy is, and then we'll play one of the
Father Daddy's a band. So I'm
a band.
A band. We're a band. It's queer pop music, essentially.
Queer pop.
Queer pop. Queer pop with
not
a bunch.
K-pop.
Not K-pop. No, I'm not Korean. queer pop. So, right. But there's a bunch of sort of cabaret, jazz, rock references in it.
Hang on. Cabaret. Do you dress up?
I do dress up. I've got a. You probably haven't seen the costume.
No, I haven't seen the costume.
The costume, the Father Daddy costume.
Tell us what it looks like.
So the costume is. So these two. I've talking about gay culture and Catholicism. So it splices elements of those costumes together. I've taken like the Leather Daddy, which is sort of an archetype of the gay community, and the Leather Man, and all of the harness and the jockstrap with the bishop. Right. So he's sort of jockstrap, harness, leather boots, all of the bits, a lot of skin showing with the bishop headpiece and the mitre and the dog collar. Yeah. So it's splicing Catholicism. And gay leather culture together. So that's the costume. Right. So that's it's yeah. Well, it's fun to look at. It's fun to wear.
Have you been ostracized by both communities?
Not yet. It's early days.
Early days. How long has this Father Daddy character been on stage?
The band's been gigging for about a year and a half. Yeah. So it's pretty new. A lot of the music I wrote sort of lockdown, post-lockdown, but the band's been gigging around town for a year and a half now.
Who's in the band and what do they play?
So there's Rory McDougall on bass, Eric Parker on guitar, Sean Sully on piano, and Lockie Jones on drums, and then me at the front as Father Daddy. So it's sort of my persona, but now it's become a band.
How about that bloke, Aspen? What does he do?
Oh, he's my producer.
He's your producer, is he? He's like Daryl, is he? Yeah, they keep quiet and just do what they're told.
He tells me if I'm doing a good job or what not to say or what not to wear.
Is he doing a good job?
He's doing a great job.
Yeah.
He's nailing it.
Not him, you. I'm asking Aspen if you're doing a good job. We don't care if he's doing a good job.
Validate me.
Very good. There you are. You feel happy. So tell us about that. We'll do one of the tracks now. Which track do you want to play?
Go for Jimbro first. That's the first one that's in the show. So this is Jimbro. Yeah.
All your own work.
All my own work, yeah.
Please your attention, I want to get more swole. I show some apprehension, you forfeit as a whole. Bro, what are you benching? That's some mad hot control. Check your time on attention, your form is on a roll. No, I've no pretension, I bet I'll get more fit. Get through your intervention, I'll get the hang of it. So you didn't mention, how much do you lift? Load me up and then some, smash her out of hip. Solid sets and steady.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
Well, we're back. Look, mate, I hate to say this. I was actually moving my body to that. It made me feel sick.
Awesome.
It was like exercise.
It is exercise. That's the point.
That's 80s shit, isn't it?
It is. It's sort of Olivia Newton-John meets Flashdance is the idea. But like,
right.
But sort of like making fun of sort of hyper-masculine gym culture, uh-huh. But sort of camp too.
Yeah, but you look like hyper-masculine gym culture. You're a caricature.
I am a caricature. So it's sort of simultaneously criticizing and celebrating it, I guess.
Celebrating.
Yeah.
Right. How long did it take to get that? Put that together.
Oh, I wrote it in one sitting. Yeah. Then sort of the lyrics sort of come right up until we're recording it. But that's a live recording that the band did a couple of months ago at rehearsal. Right. We just weren't ever expecting to put it out there. We just wanted some high quality rehearsal recordings.
Right.
But the quality came out so good. That's Eric Parker who's put that together, our guitarist. Yeah, so we smashed. That's live. We all did that in one take.
Yeah. Do you all get on?
Oh, it's great. There's some of my
there's
best
no
mates.
Schisms, no schisms.
No, rehearsals is a blast.
They're not all.
We all look forward to rehearsals because we all get along.
What's the only thing you do, is it?
Yeah.
Is this a full-time profession or all you bastards got to do?
Oh, no, we've all got day jobs.
You've got day jobs?
No, that's not true. Some of us have day jobs. Some of us are pro. Yeah.
Oh, day jobs. You got a day job.
I got a day job. Yeah.
Tell us who you work for.
This is why I look so butch.
Yeah, why? Tell
Bunnings.
Us. Bunnings?
Yeah.
You'd be perfect. I'd go right up to you and say...
Thank you. I get that a lot.
You know, where are the nails? How do I put a nail
in? No, you've got to say, where's... Can I get a screw?
Can I get a screw? Right. Yeah. All right. Well, you get a bit of that,
buy me breakfast first, like,
yeah. Lads come up to you, do they? Or do the ladies come up to you or both?
Oh, all of them.
Yeah. Oh, God, I can't believe it.
Yeah, no, I look great in the Bunnings costume too.
Yeah, so. The green. Was it green, isn't it?
Green and red, yeah.
Green and red. And you offer good advice?
Oh, mostly. It's, yeah. It can be hit and miss depending on what the... People ask for all kinds of shit in
Bunnings. Yeah, look, if I walk into Bunnings and I say I'm looking for rat poison, would you know what aisle it's
23.
In? 23. How about screws?
Five. Aisle five.
Five.
Yeah.
Five. All right.
Yeah. My favorite is when someone asks for a stud finder.
Stud finder?
Right here, babe.
Right there. Right. And then they walk away, do they?
Yeah.
How about lino?
Lino.
Yeah.
Linoleum. Linoleum. 32 upstairs.
I've never been to a Bunnings. They've got
Bunnings
upstairs.
Collingwood's two stories.
That's not a Bunnings. That's pathetic.
It's definitely
place.
A Bunnings.
It's so small.
It's
and it's small. All cramped.
It's
I've
a
been
metro
in there.
Store.
I was looking for some rat poison.
It's a small format store.
Yeah, looking for some rat poison for some of the staff here, but I couldn't find any.
Poison the staff?
Yeah. Well, why not? That's what they're there for.
It's a thing to do in Melbourne these days, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. You got
poison
it.
Everyone.
Yeah.
You're not going to use mushrooms.
No. That's too obvious, isn't it?
It's been
too
done.
Obvious.
It's been done before.
That's what I mean. You got to do something. You know, rat poison has always been a very good poisoning agent, especially in the 1890s when women were oppressed much worse than they are today, although obviously some are just as badly oppressed. And if you wanted to get rid of a nasty husband or boyfriend, rat poison was the way to go. You put a little bit in their tea every night and before you knew it, they bleed internally because rat poison is a blood thinner.
You know a little bit too much about this.
Look, I have treated people. I've been a doctor for 50 years, so I do know what to use and what not to use. I'm not trying to give people any ideas, but the thing is it was a very popular, cheap method of actually people who found themselves in a terrible situation got out of those situations. And in those days, you couldn't prove it.
Mm.
It's not like today where you do lots of tests on people, you can prove all this
stuff. Get away with it.
Yeah.
Erin Patterson would have gotten away with it sort of 50 years ago.
Oh, she would have. Yeah. That's, you know, depends whatever you think about it. That's that story. Now, getting back to your story, what's this about the Fringe Festival?
Fringe Festival. The Melbourne. I have to clarify, it's the Melbourne Fringe Festival because there is a much bigger one in Adelaide.
What? There's a bigger Fringe Festival in Adelaide?
Adelaide's got one of the biggest in the world, but you have to get to Adelaide and cart everyone over there. And so Melbourne's easier because it's here.
And you're all here?
We're all here. We all live here. So it's easier to get. Well, there'll be seven of us actually next week.
Yeah.
Is that five? Six, seven. We've got a horn front line joining us. So we'll have a trombone, a trumpet, and a tenor saxophone joining the show next week.
All right.
So we've got five shows at Festival Hub at Trades Hall.
Hang on. If you want people to come, you got to speak slowly, son. You got to speak slowly.
Excited.
You're getting excited. Is it the first time you've been on stage with this show?
Oh no, no, yeah. we've been doing Father Daddy for a while. In this format, it's the first time we're doing it with sort of the brass section,
right?
And it's the first time we've structured it more like, so the show's structured like a church service.
Right.
So previously we've just been sort of gigging around town, but this is more, it feels like a church service. The idea is it's sort of like if a church service was gay, that's like the vibe of the show. I proceed in as Father Daddy in the full sort of bishop outfit.
Right.
And there's sort of a slow transformation into the leather daddy outfit that's a bit more skimpy.
Right.
And then leave the same way that I came in.
Can I ask a personal question?
Of course.
This skimpy outfit,
yeah.
Do we see your stomach? I mean, your abdomen, I should say.
Oh, yeah. It's pretty skimpy. It's like a jock strap and a
bit of
leather.
Are you a real, real man? With hair, or do you shave?
Do you want to see?
No, please.
You're asking me to take my shirt off in the studio. I'm happy to.
No. I'm asking you on stage. Do you have hair or you shave? No.
Well, I've only got hair on my head.
No.
I'm not that hairy. No.
What do you mean?
What's that got to be?
You got a bit of fluff there. That's all right. Yeah, you don't shave for the audience.
Oh, no.
I mean, it would be pathetic, wouldn't it?
Yes.
It would be so pathetic.
I'm not shaving for the show.
And what's this with this bringing back the mutton chops back into vogue? You won't believe this. This lad, Danny's got mutton chop.
This is a character choice. This is going for like sort of the sleazy biker look. That's a big part of this is not what Danny wears. This is Father Daddy's facial hair.
Growing
that for the show. That's a character choice.
Is this like the 1970s porn star?
Exactly. Yeah. That's the look I'm going. Or like 70s porn star.
You haven't really got the moustache, have you?
I had a moustache. I had the moustache on Hard Quiz, actually.
Wait, did you?
I didn't have the mutton chops. I had the moustache on Hard Quiz.
Right.
Yeah, but the facial hair is a character choice for sure.
Yeah. It's a character choice. So what do your friends think?
Oh, my friends love it. They love it. They're all coming.
Right.
My Melbourne friends.
Don't tell me this is one of those shows only friends come to.
Oh, No.
Everybody's invited.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
So did they pay? I assume they pay money.
Oh, it's like a cocktail.
What is it? $25?
$30. $30, $40. I think full price is $40.
What? People buy, I assume they don't buy tickets at the door, do they?
Yeah, they do. A lot of people do.
Great.
Particularly at the Fringe. Yeah. Sort of, like I was there last week and it was great. You sort of turn up and hang around. Like, what's on? What are you going to see?
Yeah,
comedy,
yeah.
music, yeah, whatever. Yeah, there's always something going on. So there's a lot of that happens. So,
Are you part of the phone mob where people kind of don't give you cash or do you like a bit of cash?
No, I pay on the phone. Cash is... I'm going to lose it. I'm going to lose that. Also, people have those massive chunky wallets. That's too much to carry around.
Now, look, mate. It's only $30. You can carry $30. Obviously, what I like about you and your mob, the Father Daddy mob, you know what I like about you boys?
What's that?
What I like about you lads? The fact that you're honest people, that you'll be paying your GST and your tax.
Of course we will.
Because there will be a record of everything.
There is.
Not like us sleazebags that use cash.
Yeah.
Daryl, do you use cash?
Only dodgy people use
cash. Yeah, I use
cash.
Cash
is dodgy.
No, I use cash.
Yeah, we're dodgy, mate.
Yeah.
This is the trouble with the...
It's all above board when you pay with your phone or your...
Exactly, card. you know, you pay your tax, you pay your GST, they know your full income. You know, you pay the bank 1.5% because you've got off your phone, and they call us losers because we use cash. Come on, mate. I reckon you should just have a cash-only show.
A cash-only show.
Yeah.
I like the sound of it.
Yeah.
It sounds a bit sus, which I like.
that's what I mean, cash-only.
Yeah.
You only take cash. I mean, you can get discounts now for paying cash.
Can you?
Yeah, I go to cafes.
I've got a good friend who only pays cash everywhere.
A smart person.
Yeah.
Very smart person.
He's one of the smartest people I know.
Yeah, because every time you go ting with your phone, that's 1.5% you give to the bank. Yeah.
Mm.
And everybody knows, not that your life's an open book, obviously. You're from Jamboree?
Jamboree. Close.
Right. It doesn't seem much of a, look, I hate to say this, it doesn't seem much of a career being a part-time music, would you describe it as music theatre?
No, I'd call it pop. It's not. I mean, it's not a career at the moment.
Yeah.
It's sort of a side hustle at the moment.
Yeah.
But the dream is for it to be a career.
Do you think there's enough audience in Melbourne in the gay scene?
Yeah, I do. So the weird thing about Father Daddy's music is that we don't actually have a gay following.
Right.
So the music is about. It's not about being gay. Like the music is about sort of love, heartbreak, betrayal, family acceptance, relationship trauma, which are human experiences.
Right.
And I am singing about dudes, But I don't. I've actually sort of struggled to have a gay following because I think a lot of gay men, in particular, sort of still have shame about their experiences or like internalized homophobia. Whereas our audience is mostly is heterosexual,
right?
Because for them, and this is why it's sort of musical comedy because it's not common for straight people to hear a pop song about a guy singing about another guy. So it's got this sort of novelty value to it. And so straight people find the music hilarious, whereas for a lot of gay people, it's just sort of mundane, rudimentary. That's life, you
That's
know?
Life, right.
Particularly the next song that I think we've got queued up is a good example.
Yeah, so you're taking the mickey out of us heterosexuals, are you?
Oh, I'm taking the mickey out of everyone. So the character
also...
I am. And so Jimbo, that song's poking fun at this the straight dude at the gym who's like pumping iron, you know, bro, what are you benching? How are you lifting? But also sort of got the hots for him too. Do you know? Whereas the next song is funny because I'm singing about a guy and I'm making drunk phone calls and but my ex-boyfriend, so straight people find it hilarious because I'm singing about this guy that we broke up and I'm drunk texting him essentially, but my ex-boyfriend described it as sad. He's like, this is a really sad song, like you're using alcohol to mask a broken heart. So we've straight people love the music much more than gay people do.
And how long does the show last?
It's an hour. Yeah, about a church service.
Wait. Right. Oh, I'm not going to go down that path. I've got questions I can't
ask
on air.
Don't ask if you don't want to hear the answer.
Well, I do want to hear the answer, but I was just wondering if you had Holy Communion.
Oh, no, that's a bit too far.
That's too far. I thought so.
The thing about the show is you were sort of criticizing and sort of calling out hypocrisy without sort of offending anyone. Right. So it's a bit of a tough line to walk. Yeah. There's sort of a little bit of a symbolic moment with the... With the hard quiz, I drink a bit of wine out of this, but that's about as far as we go.
That's as far as you go.
We don't want to desecrate anything, Holly.
No. Too much. And you haven't invited the Archbishop of Melbourne?
No, I've not. I'm not sure that he would come to the show. Might get a bit of pushback from him.
Well, there may be a few priests that may be interested.
Yeah, perhaps.
Maybe should offer free tickets to any
clergy.
Clergy. No, only Roman Catholic clergy.
Only Roman Catholic.
You know
clergy.
These uniting.
That's a great idea.
Of course, that's I'm full really of great ideas. Idea. You know what my
why didn't I think of that?
You know what my specialty is?
What?
Giving unsolicited advice to people.
Well, that's what I'm going to take. Catholic clergy discount.
Yeah.
Oh, free.
Free. Catholic clergy. I mean, practicing Catholic. Not retired.
Still got to earn my money back.
No. Practice. It's part of the scene.
Yeah, right.
Part of the scene.
Hmm.
Offer them a free ticket. They're not going to come to something like this.
They'll love it. They'll really love it.
They'll get it.
They'll get it. It's funny. The show's funny. It's not meant to be disrespectful.
Right. So it's funny but not disrespectful.
That's what we're trying to go for. Right. I mean, a lot of really religious people take offense by the costume because it sort of splices these, but they sort of don't ask me what my beliefs are and they sort of fail to notice that I'm also making fun of gay people.
Right. So. So have you been cancelled?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Not before I'm started. Don't want to get
cancelled. People say you can get cancelled by the religious, cancelled by the gay community.
That's true.
Cancelled by everybody.
Or by both, and they'll have no audience.
No, then you'll have a real audience.
Yeah.
that's what'll make you viral. We'll make you viral, mate. Yeah. Hopefully you don't die from the virus. You'll be good. So what's the second song?
Drunk X, it's called. So we end the show with this. This is one of the more rock numbers. So Jimbo's a bit more pop. But the show sort of starts off a bit sort of cabaret, then we move into pop, there's a couple of ballads, and then we sort of rock out at the very end. So we're finishing with Drunk X.
Are there any costume changes?
Oh, yeah. Start off as the bishop, end up as the leather daddy. So there's a sort of a slow striptease. So by the time we hear Drunk X, I've sort of topless in a jock and bits of leather sort of around and a bit drunk. The idea is that this guy, the song was based on a drunken phone call that I made to my ex-boyfriend in lockdown. You know, it's sort of a bit sad. But also it was inspired by a pop song called Stop Calling Me Josh. And it's Peach PRC wrote this song called Fuck Off, Stop Calling Me Josh.
Right.
And it's sort of like, oh, well, Josh is writing from the perspective of, you know, her ex-boyfriend's drunk calling her. And she's like, don't stop calling me. I'm like, well, like he's got feelings. Like he might be drunk, but he probably still has some feelings for you. So this is from the other guy's perspective. So in this song, I'm the drunk ex making inappropriate phone calls.
Right. You realise that's illegal these days.
Is it?
Yeah.
Drunk call someone.
Yeah. They could say you're
stalking. Well, so this is a good point. Yeah. So this is why a gay man can get away with a song like this, but a straight man could not. Because if I was straight, drunk calling this woman, it's sort of rapey. Like it's
exactly.
But with it's two men. the playing field is even, is more even.
Is it?
So he could punch me in the face just as quickly as I could, do you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So the playing
you're physically
equal. It sort of changes the dynamic when I'm singing about a man.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I never thought of it that way. That yeah. changes that dynamic.
Oh, I get away with a lot of songs as Father Daddy that I could never get away with if I was heterosexual.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm exploiting that, getting away with as much as I can.
Let's see. Let's have a listen, Daryl.
Drinking on a Saturday night, waiting for my friends to arrive. We're going to the gay club, looking for the wrong love. Slamming every shot at Patron, sobering and feel so alone. My alcohol dependence, he is the defendant. But I didn't delete your number from my brain. Who'd have thought I'd become such a pest, such a pain? I stood up on the wall, it's the perfect time to call. I didn't think you'd mind that much at all. It's your drug.
Did you get excited?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I could be a bear, you know.
Yeah. Do you reckon?
Nah, I'm not big enough.
Nah,
you're hairy enough.
Bears are not my type.
No.
No.
Well, I'm not making any advances. You understand?
That's absolutely.
I mean, this
fine.
is the studio. There is.
Yeah, there are rules.
There are rules. Yeah. Now, once again, how do people get tickets? That's what I'm really interested in.
Melbourne Fringe website is the easiest way. There's a Facebook event. You can follow Father Dad. I'm on all the socials. TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify. But there's also the Fringe website is definitely the easiest way to get melbourneFringe.com.au.
So you can pre-book.
You can pre-book 100%. Yeah, but you can also just turn up. I mean, you can also turn up on the day. That's fine.
Yeah, it's like a Christmas market, isn't it?
People
go to the Fringe Festival and they walk around and they say, oh, this sounds interesting. I'll go and
see this. You can sort of hang out in the bar and have a drink and then get what are we going to do tonight? And you can get a schedule. So there's sort of shows going from 4 p.m. till midnight.
Have you done the Fringe before?
We did Melbourne Fringe last year, but the show was sort of fairly in its infancy, so no one really noticed. We're out of town as well. So whereas now we're in the main festival hub, which is good.
How'd you do that? Did you bribe someone?
No. I said, look, I'm going on Hard Quiz, and
right, you used Hard Quiz, did
and
you?
So they gave us a good venue.
Right.
Of course they did.
And I won.
I couldn't. Did I tell them that?
No, you should have told them you had won.
No, I told them that I was going on Hard Quiz.
Because you couldn't tell anybody for a year.
I couldn't tell anyone
for a year. So you had to keep this deep, dark secret for 12 months.
Well, I've kept deepest, darker secrets for longer.
No, this is deeper and darker. Yeah.
Is it? Yeah.
Coming out, that's nothing compared to
winning a Hard Quiz.
Well, keep it under wraps for a year. I can't believe these bastards are pre-recording a year ahead of time.
Yeah, it was hard. It was a big one. And I'm a notorious sort of social media poster, so it was hard to sort of sit on that.
So what are they going to... The thing is, if you did say you won, they wouldn't... Air the
episode. I guess so.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
said that I could tell people that I won, but I just couldn't put it on the internet, do you know? Right. So, of course, yeah. I told my family and friends and stuff. But yeah.
Did they believe you?
Yeah, they did. Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Especially when I showed them this.
Ah, no, this is before you won.
Oh.
Did they believe you?
Yeah, I had photos because Aspen was there in the studio audience filming it. So he had photos. Yeah.
Aspen was filming.
He was there. He was in the studio audience.
I can't believe
it. Oh, no, little sneaky snippets, not filming where it is.
Now, getting back to a more serious matter, I'm really interested in the fact that you still have a belief in God and a belief in certain segments of the Roman Catholic liturgy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why do you think you're still holding on to this belief system?
So, I mean, a lot of it was sort of nostalgia. So I had, I sort of loved going to church when I was a kid. I was really into it. I was an altar boy. I played the piano at church. I sang at church. I was an acolyte at one stage. And then,
excuse me, could you explain, please explain, what's an acolyte?
An acolyte is sort of a senior altar boy.
Right.
It's sort of almost one step before you would join the seminary.
Oh, right.
So there were I had teachers at high school that were pushing me to do this.
We've got so much in common. Yeah. You could have been Pope.
I could have been Pope.
If you didn't come out, you could have been Pope.
Well, it's Father Daddy to begin with, then a Bishop Daddy, Cardinal Daddy, Pope Daddy. That's the transition.
That's the transition. I think you'll do all right.
Yeah. So I was sort of, and we went to church every week as I was a kid. And so I loved the music. I think that was my main connection because the music is great. And I would sing along and I got involved with church through music. And then as sort of the extent of the sexual abuse crisis became apparent, I never had an aha moment, but I felt like growing up there was something wrong with me for being gay and that I was somehow flawed and a sort of abomination of nature, and that the church had it all worked out, you know, and that was the correct way of living. And then sort of 20 years later and the sexual abuse crisis has all come out and sort of the reverse is true. Actually, you know, we accept that being gay is a normal part of human sexuality and that's fine and celebrated, and it's the Catholic Church that got it wrong, you know. Well, I was never wrong. The system that I grew up believing in was wrong.
Right. So, was it just the Catholic Church?
Was it was everywhere.
The community is everywhere. Yeah. Community as a whole. Right?
Yeah, but celibacy has not helped. So this is Father Daddy's, he's against celibacy. It's like you should be able to believe in God and have a healthy sex life. Do you know?
Right.
And so that's sort of what Father Daddy's about. Sort of taking the spiritual and the physical.
Well, you should join the Church of England.
Well, my family would disown me. But gay, fine. Protestant, no.
You could be Greek Orthodox priest. Come on.
It's only
Roman Catholics that hang on to this.
No, I know.
Thing,
you know? I know. But that,
you've got to devote yourself to the church, mate.
Yeah.
You've got to devote yourself to the church.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could tell you a joke about an old priest, but I won't.
Oh, there's a lot of jokes about priests, which I'm not trying to do. Actually, so Father Daddy's a bishop. He's specifically sort of making fun of bishops, to be honest, because they're sort of the middle manager in this big sort of hierarchy that's the church. But then I sort of started going back to church, as I said, for research. But then I was sort of, I was struck by this wave of nostalgia. Like I went back, it was Easter, the place was done up beautifully. There was candles and incense and flowers and I knew all the responses. And the congregation was really diverse and the priest was hot. That helps, having a good-looking priest.
Oh.
So then I sort of thought, this is actually nice. And the thing about going to church is that there are sort of a lot of affirmations for the underdog. So
if you've
been victimized or bullied or ostracized, as I have been, and then they're saying, you know, the meek will inherit the earth.
That's right.
The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. That's really empowering if you've been victimized or bullied. So that sort of seduced me as well. And sort of there's something that struck me about going back to church as an adult after this massive break. And it was Easter and it was the resurrection story. And it sort of occurred to me that you sort of don't have to believe in that literally in order for it to be a great metaphor for overcoming trauma.
Yeah.
And we've all been through tough times. Yeah. So that's, I sort of don't want to stop me if I get preachy because I don't care if you go to church or what you believe.
No.
And people are like, how can you go to church? They've done awful things to kids. And it's like, well, you know.
Some.
And
the
like,
great
you know,
majority haven't.
And like, no, exactly. And like one, no organization is completely good and evil. Like there are great things about Catholicism. There are bad things about Catholicism. Yeah. There are great things about being gay. There are bad things about being gay.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, that's how I've sort of been able to separate God from the actions of the church because the church is run by men and men sort of fuck up all the time, but God is good. So that's where I'm sort of at the moment. It's sort of being able to be critical of Christianity while still believing in it.
Mm. I've got to pull you up on something. You said the meek shall inherit the earth.
Mm.
You realize that's a lie.
Is it?
You know why?
Why?
Well, 85% of people in Australia get cremated. so the meek don't inherit the earth anymore. You don't even get your 6 foot of bloody earth in a box. Because 85, it's so expensive to go to, you know, to be buried.
No, it's
20,000, 25,000 for a plot.
Yeah, it's a lot. I don't have that kind of money.
Yeah, I mean, you'll give me cremated. You're not going to inherit the earth, mate.
Put me in a box and burn me.
No, yeah. they'll just chuck you.
Chuck me into the sea. I want to be thrown into the ocean.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's easily done. It's done all the time.
How I want to go.
I could tell you a story about somebody I chucked into the ocean once.
Did you? That sounds a bit mafia.
No. It was their ashes.
Oh, there wasn't concrete.
That's another story. But I can give you some good advice if you're going to chuck somebody into the ocean, somebody's ashes into the oceans. Make sure it's not a windy day. Because the ashes come back.
A face full of uncle.
In your eyes, in your nose, in your ears. Up your mouth, and you can taste death for days.
Yuck.
So, non-windy days, if you're going to throw your ashes about, tell your mates in the will, you want a quiet, sunny day.
Got it.
Yeah. Thanks, so, what are your plans for the future? Are you going to leave Bunnings when you become a household name?
Yeah, hopefully. That's the plan. Plans for the future. We're sort of just trying, at the moment, we're just sort of trying to get as much gigs as we can. I'd like to tour. I'd love to tour the show, I reckon.
Right.
We'd love to tour it. That's the ultimate goal. All musicians want to tour.
Yeah.
We'd love to tour the show.
Right.
Yeah.
The problem is, you're paying the band, aren't you?
I am paying the band. Yeah.
That means there's nothing left for you.
There's not much, no. So, I mean, I consider it like a new business, right? Like, they say when you're starting up a new business, you got to be prepared to make a loss for the first, 3 years?
Yeah.
So we're still in that phase. So I also spent a lot of money on the tracks that are online because they're sort of not cheap to produce.
Right.
So I feel like we're in the investment stage still.
Right.
So I'm sort of hoping to start making a profit soon. In fact, The Fringe will be the biggest show that we've done. But I believe that musicians should be paid for their work. And so I'm sort of paying all the musicians and not taking home anything at the moment. But hopefully that'll change some point in the future.
Do they actually share their pot of beer with you at the end of the...
Oh, yeah, of course. We get paid.
Often
you get a rider when you do a gig. Free drinks for the show.
Do you get the free drinks or just the band?
Most of us get riders.
All right. Look, I wish you all the best in the future. I think it's got potential. Especially the more serious aspect of what you're doing.
Mm.
And I think it's important to actually, again, unsolicited advice, to actually highlight that more serious aspect.
Mm.
Because I think what you're trying to do is extraordinarily brave.
Thank you.
And I think that, I wish you all success with it, because it's important to try to bring society together, and that's what you're trying to do, maybe in a musical comedy way, but you're trying to bring two disparate forces together by examining their commonality and how important they are to each section of that community. So I congratulate you on the show. And whether you're financially successful or not, don't worry about that. What you're doing is extraordinary. Brave, and thank you for opening up to the audience here at Community Radio 3CR, and we will podcast the program in its entirety. Well, Daryl will. I'm too lazy to do that, but Daryl will do it. Now, would you like to wrap up, Daryl?
Sure, John, not a problem. Okay, you have been listening to Radical Australia with Joe Toscano and special guest Danny Condon here at 3CR Community Radio, 8:55 AM on your dial. Online at 3cr.org.au, and this program is being podcasted.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.